Okay.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, happy day, and welcome to Walking with A Course in Miracles on the Journey to Success Network here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Christina Callender. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today. Walking with A Course in Miracles is a show where we will be exploring how students of the Course are able to practice and really implement the teachings found within it into their everyday lives. I have been a Course student since 2007, and I will be speaking with fellow students from all walks of life about their challenges, experiences, and practices as they learn to follow the guidance of their inner teacher within the idea that only love is real. Just before we begin, let me tell you a little bit about me. As I have chosen to be a consistent learner with A Course in Miracles, I have also become a consistent learner in life. I thoroughly enjoy educating myself with regular intensive seminars, workshops, coaching, and I read a lot of books. My dad has always been an inspiring example of a consistent learner. He's always very alive when he has the opportunity to put into action something he has recently learned, and he seems to get younger all the time. I know that I share his love of learning. Currently, I am exploring being an entrepreneur and investor. These roles will have you, they will have you learn a lot about yourself. The newest project that I am a part of is an international community of people from diverse backgrounds from all over the world with unique expertise in their chosen fields, whose purpose is to help people on their personal journey to success. It is being launched in September, and right now I am looking for people who would like to try it out and offer feedback as we move forward towards taking it public. These interviews that I do here on the Journey to Success Radio Network will be part of the content in my area on the platform. If you are interested, please contact me at walkingwithacim@gmail.com or find the Walking with A Course in Miracles Facebook page. One of my greatest loves in this world is playing the role of wife to my husband Brad and mother to our two children, Josh and Holly. My family provides me with endless patience, willingness to try and understand, and they allow the room for me to take the time to grow and learn within the relationship of living together. They also, of course, provide unlimited opportunities to experience and walk with the concepts of the Course. Today, I am so pleased to be sharing this time on Walking with A Course in Miracles with our guest, Johann Koslag. Johann arose out of a passion for photography as a child, which still resides strong and true in his heart, through arts and science and a technical and engineering education into lifelong career in the repair, maintenance, and use of photographic equipment with Nikon Canada, where he now supervises a service department of a dozen technicians. A parallel and integrated lifelong exploration of the metaphysical, not-so-traditional religions, and the spiritual experience has accompanied him through marriage, children, career, and family. As student of A Course in Miracles for many years, he is bringing its experience into being in his life and others. The spiritual awareness of rootedness in the eternal on the exponential scale is approaching fruition as the world is seen through different eyes. Corrections are made through choosing again. The roots of the illusion have let go and are being firmly established in reality as the fog lifts. Johann, that was beautifully said, and thank you so much for being here with us today.
Hi, Chris. How's it going?
Oh, just fine. Thanks, Johann. Tell us first, if you don't mind, how did A Course in Miracles come into your life, and what has been your experience with it so far?
I bought the book, I guess, in about 2005 at Nature's Echoes, just on speculation and recommendations by people who had talked about it or mentioned it and said, oh, maybe you'll be interested in this. I didn't have a clue what it was at that time. And when I first looked at the book, I saw all the Christian terminology and pretty well got turned off almost immediately because of my own experience with having a strong Christian background, and I thought, oh no, not just another Christian take on life and everything to do with it. And so, using the, I guess, the traditional meanings and understandings of the terms, I pretty well put the book down for about, I don't know, 3 years, I guess, anyway. And then came back to it as, out of curiosity, I went to a course or a study group at the same place where I bought the book and started to learn about what was really being said. And there it went from that. And to this day, it's never been something that has received an interruption since. Anyway, that's how I got to hear about the Course in Miracles.
Nice. And you have found the discussion group that you go to and other discussion groups, you have found that helpful in your travels with the Course?
Oh, yes. It focuses the concepts throughout the doing or studying the Course. I've been all over the book, probably have missed parts of it. It's never been a sequential reading from beginning to end, although currently we've been doing chapter by chapter, so that finally is getting me to read the whole book. But it has been I don't know if they want to say scatterbrained, but a scattered approach to understanding this book. And through the groups, a stimulation of thoughts and ideas and exchanges really focuses what the concepts are about. And that went on for many years. And now it's been expanding into more of a practical approach and keeping it in my mind as I talk and think about what people are saying to me and expressing their emotions and whatnot. Anyway, so, and that's expanded exponentially in only in the last few years, really. It's been a slow, progressive slope through understanding of the concepts. And now I'm finding people who are applying it. And, it's quite amazing. It's now on a logarithmic.
So you've been really focusing on putting it into your relationships in your world, even if it's not just with other course students, but just everyone that you come in contact with in a day, you try and to remember the practices, what you're trying to work on that day. Is that true for
you?
Yeah,
and I don't know if it's a conscious focus. It's more of an observation in your mind, watching what you're saying and how you're reacting, with A Course in Miracles principles in the back of my mind. That's basically how I would put it. It's not a focus or a doing, but more of an awakening and awareness of what's going on. And it's very difficult
right.
to find. Yeah.
Right. And A Course in Miracles says that if it's not love, it's a call for love. And when we have someone in front of us and they're obviously calling for love, we have the choice then whether to react with an attack or defense and basically a call for love of our own, or we can choose to respond with love ourselves. And I have found this very helpful with a quicker awareness in a situation. Have you used this at all to help you see things as you go along?
Yeah, I've never is not the right word, really seen it as a call for love, but you're right on that. When I feel irritated or something bothers me about what is being said, and then I think, why does that bother me? And especially if you react in a defense with a defense stand, or from that defense stand attack back again. And you said, why would I do that? And one of the most recent revelations that I've come across, and this occurred in one of the study groups I go to, was if I perceive it as an attack on me. The perception is really of an attack on something that is vulnerable, whereas as a child of God, I'm not really, there's nothing really wrong with me. I'm a perfect child of God, so there's nothing really to attack. So in that idea that I'm being attacked, that lifts almost immediately. And in that sense, I call on the voice of the Holy Spirit to say what is helpful in this situation. I'm not really being attacked. There's no need to be defensive. There's no need to respond with, in a defense or even into an attack position back again. And in doing that, you see the call of love in yourself, I guess. It's everything I think we see in what other people are doing is really a reflection of what's coming from you. And so you do try. I try to respond in love. And in a sense, that's been a sinking with how I felt since a child. Yeah, anyway.
That was very beautifully said.
Whereas
do you want to continue with that?
Say again?
Do you want to continue with that?
No, that's okay for now. We can explore that idea of synchronizing with who you really are, I guess. And instead of getting sidetracked into ego tracks, which happens so easily, the ego speaks first, and you dive in, especially when you're not paying attention. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Or listening for that small.
Really interesting how you said that, Jan, that the call for help really is our own call for help, as it's our projection that we're really seeing in the reflection. So that is quite an awareness to have. When you feel that you've been in a situation and you haven't been fully loving and helpful in that situation, and you're thinking back on it after, it's sometimes very easy to get down on ourselves and judgmental. The shoulda, woulda, coulda start surfacing. What process do you use to then switch your perception to be one of gratitude towards your brother for the opportunity instead of the judgment that you're holding?
Yeah, being aware, first of all, that you're using those terms. I should have done this, I could have done that, and oh, I wish I hadn't done this or said that. Then you suddenly realize you're stuck in the quagmire of the ego, thoroughly taking you down into another chaotic direction, which, you know, can be fun to play around with. But again, I see the Holy Spirit of God sitting on the sidelines saying, "Well, go ahead, do that. We'll wait for you," in that timeless voice, you know. So. Where were we going with this? What was the question again? Sorry.
The process that you use to switch your perception to be one of gratitude to your brother.
Yeah. I think the gratitude comes in the sense that you cease to feel attacked or the need to attack back. And you feel this lifting of the spirit, and that's a cause for gratification for having been shown this once again.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
So, Johan, can we take a look at just right at the very beginning of chapter one in the principles of miracles? The very first principle, there is no order of difficulty in miracles. One is not harder or bigger than another. They are all the same. All expressions of love are maximal. Do you find, Johan, as you walk through your day, that some things seem easier to forgive than others? And how do you work with that principle that all things are the same?
Definitely, you feel that certain problems or certain issues and things have levels of difficulty, that some things are just almost beyond being able to deal with. But when you think of that very first principle, and being rooted in the idea of being a child of God, nothing should be difficult, and it's all the same. And to be able to deal with the situation, and I'm kind of speaking more theoretically, but when that situation seems off very difficult, remember that who you are, and go into it, dive into it, go through it. Often we want to avoid it, we want to change the subject, we do everything to skip around the issue, and including misdirection, just downright lying. You just don't want to talk about it, so you'll save not quite a lie or something, and you divert yourself. But it helps you focus on the issue at hand and to go straight into it. Yeah, saying there is really no order. I'm dispersing that cloud that's around us, taking that darkness to the light, I guess you'd say, letting it go.
And going back again to what you said before about the call for love being our own call for love at the root of it, with there being no order of difficulty in miracles, then the need to take a look at the situation and take full responsibility for everything that is happening in our lives, because it is our projection.
Right.
How do you take care of you know, when things seem overwhelming, just taking responsibility that you actually called this into your world for whatever reason?
Yeah. Sometimes I think what you have to do is experience it. Don't fight it. As soon as you try to resist where the direction is going, it becomes a fight. It becomes an attack. And so sometimes you let the ego go with it, and don't resist it, and saying it's all fine and good. And you, through that, there's a great letting go of the need to attack, to defend, I guess you could say. I can't really think of a specific example I could give you that may come up, but at this point, no.
Well, a lot of people fall very easily into the blame game and the complaining game. I know if you even just take a look at Mother Nature, it doesn't seem to matter what Mother Nature gives us. There's someone who can be complaining about it instantly instead of taking a look at how glorious it is.
Right, exactly. The weather's a great example of how we project our discomfort is through worrying about what the weather is going to be. Yeah, okay, there's a good example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You definitely can't change it.
So oh, definitely.
It is a good lesson in acceptance, I think.
Yeah, so, yeah. Whether you like hot weather or cold weather, or whether there's a tornado coming, what's the weather going to be at the end on Friday, and should I not do it because of the what? Do something, or go somewhere, or talk to somebody, or meet them because I have to drive there through bad weather, possibly bad weather.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to take account of the weather in your doings, in your schedulings, or whatever, is, I think it reflects something. The insecurities in yourself, and it's a reflection back on your own projections, your fears that the ego puts in there, well, maybe I really don't want to do this, you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm. And that ego talks very loudly. And this leads me to my next question and point is in chapter 4, this need not be, because you feel sometimes that the ego can be so loud, but if it says right at the beginning of this need not be, if you cannot hear the voice for God, it is because you do not choose to listen. And then over down a little ways, when your mood tells you that you have chosen wrongly, and this is so whenever you are not joyous, then no, this need not be. In every case you have thought wrongly about some brother God created and are perceiving images your ego makes in a darkened glass. Think honestly what you have thought that God would not have thought and what you have not thought that God would have you think. Search sincerely for what you have not done and left undone accordingly, and then change your mind to think with God's. When I read this, that's such a challenge to me to think honestly what you have thought that God would not have thought and what you have not thought that God would have you think, and to do that in each moment. And no, this need not be. When you are sad, no, this need not be. When you are anxious, no, this need not be. And none of the ego is necessary if we just choose to change the way we see things. Does that help you at all as you go along in your day? And how can we incorporate these ideas, you know, even into our closest relationships?
Okay. What came to my mind when you're reading this is what happened to me when I really began to understand the terms of the Course, who Jesus was, who the Holy Spirit is, who God is, and who we are, and what forgiveness means, and all the rest of it. In my 180-degree shift of understanding Christian terms, many of those terms really were bothering me in my normal church activities. And especially the one where, I don't know if I can quote it, where Jesus says, I am the way, I am the light. And I think there's another term that escapes me at the moment. And the Christian idea was to follow the name of Jesus, the man, that he was the example. And we forgot what the meaning of who he is, of that he's the light, the way, and the truth. And once I shift my perception that is who we are looking to. We are looking, to that example of what the way is, what the truth is, and the light of God through him. So whenever I hear that this is the only way, that is the only way. It's not the Christ the name or Jesus the name. It is what he means. It is the content, not the form, whereas mm-hmm. Christ is taken almost, in many religions, just the form is given allegiance or given shrift, I guess. Yeah. So that's just one example of how it has turned around my view of people at church and the concepts that we are expressing. It doesn't take away from, my thought will be that nothing seems to change and people still are stuck in their own struggles. But what it does focus on is now I'm seeing the struggles rather than the form that I was struggling with. And I see the struggles and their reflection back on me, and try to see those people or anyone else as a child of God going through all those, that form and that cloud that people put up around them anyway.
And the cloud can get quite thick.
Oh, yes, yes, and distracting and and the ego jumps right in there with all kinds of, you know, well, that's not right, and yeah. And then, yeah, anyway, not to go into the
events. Johann, one of the trippiest concepts I find in A Course in Miracles is the concept of giving and receiving. I look at lesson 126, and it says, all that I give is given to myself. And I look in chapter 6 at the lessons of the Holy Spirit, and the first part is to have, give all to all. Has your perspective, Johann, changed at all on this idea of giving and receiving since you've become a student of A Course in Miracles?
Oh, yes. So, used to... when you like something or like somebody, you want to grasp and hold them, and you almost in the ego's desire to hold on to something, it would disappear from you. It would, you couldn't hold the water in your hand, so to speak. But once you let go of that idea, then it turns into a total giving experience. Whereas once you give it away, and then it comes back a hundredfold. So you don't do it consciously, you know, extending your love to who they are, but it's for the idea of getting something back. You just give it, you let go, and yeah.
I was very sort of put out that when I started realizing that all the giving that I had been doing was coming from my ego rather than spirit. You know, as mothers, we do so many things out of obligation and responsibility. And when I started really taking a look at the things that I was doing, and I said, I give and give and give, and you know, I wasn't being replenished, and because all the giving was coming from ego rather than from spirit. And it was quite an eye-opener for me.
Yeah. No, I could...
Pardon me, Johann, I don't mean to interrupt.
No, sorry, I'm interrupting back. Go ahead.
Now, in that we're almost out of time here, so I just want to touch very quickly on the manual for teachers. It has just been such a helpful part of A Course in Miracles for me. And if I can just read the introduction quickly, part of it, it says, the Course emphasizes that to teach is to learn, so that teacher and learner are the same. It also emphasizes that teaching is a constant process. It goes on every moment of the day and continues into sleeping thoughts as well. Have you found this manual helpful in learning that you are a teacher of God in each moment?
Yeah, and it's difficult to, well, not difficult, but to get away from the ego's concept of a teacher, that I know something that you do not, and that I'm imparting that to you, that knowledge. And then for coming from a technical background, this is an easy trap to fall into in any situation where you're trying to impart knowledge or a way of doing something. And but to understand that it's an exchange, that being a teacher means that you are fully a learner as well, and you are not a better child of God than somebody you are working with. And being a teacher is being taught. In the giving of your understanding of who they are, you receive back the understanding of who I am in that reflected light, so to speak. That's putting it in very general terms. But to get away from that idea, as soon as I think that I'm trying to impart some knowledge rather than receive it, I realize I'm an ego, and then I refocus. And teaching and being a student is it an equal situation? There's no, and there's, I don't know if you could say order of difficulty, but there's no levels. But the level is one of equality.
Mm-hmm.
That makes any sense.
It does, and it's a fascinating concept. It really is. And to be able to live that way in our days, even as often as we can, it just continually brings more peace. I really want to thank you for sharing your time and experience with us today, Johann. If people want to get in touch with you and speak to you more about A Course in Miracles, do you have an email address that you can share with us?
Yeah, sure. The one that I gave you, I think, would work. jhkoslag@gmail.com.
Can you just spell that out for us, please? And I'll also post it as well.
Okay. jhkoesl, as in Larry, Apple, G for George. So K-O-E-S-L-A-G. jhkoeslag@gmail.com.
@gmail.com. Excellent.
Yeah.
And, Johann, is there anything else that you'd like to share with us about your experience with A Course in Miracles today?
Maybe that I'm realizing that it is now on an exponential curve. It's not just a slow rise. But it's steep, and I'm running into people everywhere who are aware of the Course, and whether they're doing it consciously or not, are living it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's my own perception of people, but that's how I'm finding them.
Mm-hmm. And I'm finding the more people I meet, there's a tremendous surge of young people who just seem
to
speak language. It just seems to make sense to them.
Yeah, and that's very encouraging to see. The spiritual search is strong and powerful, and the Course in Miracles is being reflected almost everywhere in that search. Yeah.
Well, it certainly is reflected in you, Johann. So thank you again for being with us today, and thank you to Journey to Success Radio Network for allowing us this time on Walking with A Course in Miracles. I am your host, Christina Callender, and thank you for joining us. Happy day, everyone. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, Johann.
Bye. Should have asked.